fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our second hour on Wednesday, the 5th day of January. Prepper tip today, at my website at thelibertyman.com, we've got the complete interview, Joe Rogan interviewing Dr. Malone. Dr. Malone is one of the best qualified people on the planet to talk about vaccination, since that's been his life, helping fabricate and create vaccinations for about 30 plus years. You really need to watch that to educate yourself. And we do have patient waiting to green room, my friend Professor James McCanny. Professor McCanny taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He taught mathematics at Cornell University. He's the author of, I believe, 13 books, more to come, weekly radio talk show host, amateur archaeologist. His website's linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, John. How are we doing?
Fantastic, sir. Well, I saw some email traffic. It looks like there's some increased interest in the wing generators, isn't there, sir?
Yeah, there's been continual interest. What I have to tell people, though, is they have to come to me with a plan. They can't write 2 sentences and say, just send me all this information and we'll kind of go through it and see what might fit. It's not how it works. People have to have a budget, they have to have a plan, and I'm not going to try and second guess what people's abilities are. And so they have to go through the steps of filling out the questionnaire and telling me what they intend to do. And then I come back, and they also, part of that is to demonstrate that they have a budget. This is not, it's a tremendous amount of work to put together a package that would suit somebody's needs, but they have to tell me what those needs are and what their budget is.
Absolutely. Well, people's lack of knowledge when it comes to these matters is phenomenal, and I've observed this firsthand on a number of occasions. I recall looking at a piece of property. This would have been 1998, and there was a creek, a spring, which had a waterfall that maybe was 6 feet high, and the volume of water was equivalent to maybe two garden hoses, maybe three garden hoses, was about the volume of water. And they were thinking that we could create hydroelectric power to have enough electricity for a group of 30 men and women to have all the lights and refrigeration and various, you know, communications equipment that we would ever need. And I looked at this guy like, I thought, are you serious? Really?
You know? Right.
And I've seen advertisements for these solar generators. And they got a little panel that puts out maybe 50 watts. And will charge up a battery that might be powerful enough to start my Lincoln Town Car. And maybe run a couple of LED lights for a number of hours. Maybe a small appliance for a short period of time. But the advertisement makes it look like this solar generator can run a 2,000 square foot house with everything you need, don't they, sir?
Right, and that's partly too, also to the advertisements you hear on the radio. I've heard these in many, many places. You know, the power company is pushing these, and a lot of times there's local companies that are actually selling and installing. But they know that once the people get it installed, it's paid for, and the 6 months down the line, the people are going to realize, hey, this is, you know, I thought that my bill was going to go to zero and all my electricity would be paid for, and that's not the case. And then, you know, then they read the fine print and realize that, you know, these a few solar panels on their house, even if they cover their whole roof with solar panels, is not going to be enough to power their house. And so it's that misconception. People just have no clue, you know, because they've been over-marketed with basically false information.
Right. One of the keys to, of course, a tremendous amount of energy is spent trying to keep a home warm or cool, depending on time of year. I just bought myself a home here last fall that I'm working on, and I know this. The 6 inches of insulation in the attic is going to become 12 inches of insulation. The 4 inches of insulation in the walls will become added to with 3 inches of solid core foam on the outside and new siding. Eventually, the double pane glass windows will become triple pane glass windows with insulated curtains to pull shut at night. I'm probably not going to do an airlock doorway where you have one door, walk 3 feet and have a second door, but that would be another way. All these things add up to minimize the cost of heating and cooling, don't they, sir? Jim, are you there? Hello, Jim. You're on mute, Jim. Jim, your microphone's on mute. Okay, we lost Jim. He probably had to deal with the construction workers going on there. And if you got a question or a comment for Professor McKinney, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. I'm sure he'll be back momentarily. And let's see what we got here. Okay, Jim's asking our engineer to call him again. He's having some issues there that he's dealing with, some technical issues. We'll deal with that and have Jim back here momentarily. Professor McKinney is also an amateur archaeologist. His expertise is to the point where foreign governments, including the government of Peru, is in consultation with him regarding the Nazca lines. Nazca lines were first discovered during World War II when, for the first time, airplanes went over that part of Peru, which is a very dry desert area, for the first time. And the pilots observed these figures of various animals made with rocks in the desert, the high desert there in Peru, called Nazca. And that began the speculation of who made these, what they mean, when they were put there for decades, many decades. And then Professor McKinney, because of his knowledge of a fairly new type of antenna, called fractal antennas, which he's helped to engineer and develop himself. He looked at these rock figures in the desert and was able to determine that they are in fact fractal antennas. It can both send and receive messages.
Hello.
Jim, while you were gone, I was mentioning your knowledge and revelation that the Nazca lines in the Nazca Desert of Peru are in fact fractal antennas, aren't they, sir?
Correct. Right. Used. The purpose being, I don't know if they were ever used, but the clear purpose is signaling to certainly off-planet designations. And this is not in low Earth orbit or any kind of Earth orbit. This would be, probably deep space and potentially another planet, like, say, Mars, which was populated within the past 10,000 years. Because it lost all its oceans and atmosphere to a passing comet. But, definitely for receiving and signaling and sending.
That was going to be my next question. I was pretty sure it was both receiving and receiving these radio frequency signals. Fascinating. The way I try to explain it to folks is, I'll ask them, do you remember when your first cell phone had a little antenna you pulled up? And, oh, yeah, my first cell phone had a little antenna you pulled up. And I'll ask them, do you know why it no longer has it? No, John, I don't know why. And so we'll say, well, here's why. It's because your cell phone now has a fractal antenna and no longer needs a little pull-up antenna. Would that be a fairly accurate statement, Jim?
Yeah, exactly. And the point being that fractal antennas were only discovered in modern antenna technology. They were only discovered within the last 20 years. So how is it that an ancient civilization that we know nothing about, they were not the Incas, there was some race prior to the Incas, built these massive transmitting and receiving antennas using fractal technology, who knows, 5,000-10,000 years ago, and left them in the desert? Did they leave them for us to discover and use? What's the protocol? Anytime you have a telecommunications system, it's called a protocol. How do you send? How do you initiate the send? How do you wake up the other end that you're sending? And there's usually packetized information with a protocol. For example, I worked on the 602 protocols for Ethernet when I was in the telecommunications industry. And it's very complicated. Things have to flow. So when you plug a cable into your computer, that Ethernet cable that comes from the router, there's a whole standard protocol that's going on there. And now it's standardized so that it works in China and works in the U.S., wherever you are. So the same thing with these, you would need some kind of protocol. And if you did not have that, you would not be able to communicate with these. So that's the second part of the puzzle, which I'm actually working on. So those are the kind of things I get to work on that people don't see.
Well, Jim, one of the more common rock carvings, ancient rock carvings around the planet is a spiral, isn't it, sir?
Oh, yeah, exactly. One of the more common ones. And those are a very common form of fractal antenna.
Exactly. Fascinating stuff. We got our first caller here. We got John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. Professor, I misspoke last week. I owe you an apology. I was a little bit argumentative. I used the word troposphere when I actually meant thermosphere. So I apologize for that. I do have a question. Couple questions, actually. I'm led to believe that satellites are in the thermosphere. Is that correct?
No. The satellites, any satellites, are literally in outer space.
Okay. Well, according to the science sites I've been to, they're showing them in the thermosphere. But in any event, I'm wondering, again, what they're made of, that they're able to go through this region that's in excess of 3,000 degrees and not literally melt, and then put the brakes on when they come into a so-called orbit.
Well, satellites typically break up when they come back into Earth's atmosphere. And so...
I'm talking about exiting to get to outer space. And then once they get out, how do they put the brakes on in a vacuum and maintain a geostationary orbit?
They're basically in a vacuum. And yeah, the thermosphere, you know, by some definitions extends hundreds of miles up into outer space, so it's in vacuum, but it's very rare. The air is very rarefied, and if you leave a satellite up there long enough, it'll eventually hit enough atmosphere where it'll start descending in its orbit and start working its way back into the atmosphere, in which case it typically burns up. And that's one of the big issues of re-entering the atmosphere is if you want to save the spaceship like a space shuttle, how do you do that? And so there's a lot of techniques for doing that.
So if they, how do they, and I'm asking again, I'm really not being argumentative. I want to understand how they put the brakes on the satellite to cause it to stop forward motion and then maintain a geostationary orbit.
There are rockets on it that position it, and they're constantly moving. There are rockets that are little thrusters, and these things are constantly working to keep it in a certain location. When it goes into orbit insertion, you need rockets to position it, to slow it down, to get it into position. So all of this is done with onboard rocket engines, small ones.
And that's a constant thing over the life of the satellite, I suppose?
That's one of the limiting factors of your typical satellite. Yeah, and so you have other, like the Cassini mission at Saturn finally ran out of fuel. You know, the Galileo mission at Jupiter, you know, finally ran out of fuel. You know, so over the course of a 10-year period, finally expends all of its fuel.
Just one more question. How much fuel do they reckon? I mean, I'm sure someone has calculated how much fuel may be necessary to traverse space in a vacuum for 10 years. This is the first I've ever heard that a satellite actually carried fuel.
Oh yeah, they all do. They all, if they're they're meant to, they're constantly repositioning, etc. That becomes a problem.
If you had to speculate, what type of fuel is used and how much may be necessary?
Well, it depends on the mass of the satellite and where it is in its orbit. The lower orbit, the more atmosphere it's going to run into. So the more energy it needs to keep up in its orbit. All of those things go into the lifetime. And there are gases, a lot of times they're gases, so it's not, there are different types of engines that could be like an ion engine. That's another type, but they all require fuel, and that's what I particularly worked on in my inventions that I've talked about. The electromagnetic propulsion systems are non-inertial. They don't carry fuel. And so...
One more question, if I might. And I really do want to understand. The space shuttle is in Earth's atmosphere. Is that correct?
No.
The space shuttle is no longer operational. We haven't used space shuttle in quite a long time, John.
Well, I'm talking about ISS, the space station.
Oh, the space station. Yeah, that's high enough in orbit that it constantly has to be resupplied with fuel to keep it up in its orbit. Otherwise, it would decay and finally come into Earth's orbit or Earth's atmosphere.
So if the adage of what goes up must come down is true, and I believe you and I know that's true, in order for it to maintain elevation, it would have to pretty often, if it ceased its upward motion, it would have to almost have a constant firing of some type of a rocket up, much less to keep it orbiting, because it's inside the
atmosphere. We have a break.
How do they?
We have a break. We'll be
and
back.
Help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
All right, we are back. We are back. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. A great way to protect your car, your truck, your wing generator control panels. And check out the details at my website. Visiting with Professor James McCanny. Jim, you've got a weekly radio show. Let people know how I can listen live and to the archives, please.
Yes, John. Excuse me, I have a little frog in my throat this morning, which I want to talk about also. I think a lot of people are experiencing this, and I think we're already experiencing the Venus inferior conjunction. I think a lot of people I've talked to have this kind of cold, flu type of symptoms.
But anyway, tomorrow night, I will be talking about that a little bit on my show tomorrow night, which is Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time from WWCR Nashville, Tennessee, the James McCanney Science Hour at the Crossroads. And it's 22nd year now. And all the archives are on my webpage, which is linked from your page. All the different ways to listen are also listed on my webpage. It re-airs about 7 times, depending on where you are on the planet Earth. And may even be listened to by aliens, I found out. No, I'm just kidding. I better say I'm kidding very fast on that one. But you never know, John. You never know.
Well, you never know. Hopefully aliens will educate themselves as well. John from Tennessee, you're still with us. You got a final comment?
I am. Yeah, one more question. First of all, Professor, I really do appreciate you indulging me. I really do, because I know we've had our differences. I don't dislike you. I do want to understand where you're coming from. One more question, if you'll allow, and that is, in your understanding, why is a rainbow a rainbow? Where does the curvature of the rainbow come from?
Well, it's only part of a circle is the issue. If it usually ends at the ground someplace, and if that ground were not there, it would continue to be a complete circle. What it is it's like a prism reflection inside of circular spherical raindrops. And you can also have it in the direction of the sun. It's called sun dogs if you see it in the direction of the sun. And so what it is little droplets, spherical droplets of rain, and it's a prism effect. And so it's in an arc because that's part of a circle. And as I said, if the ground weren't there and the mist were in the air all around, you would see it as a complete circle.
It seems like I've looked through, I've used prisms, you know, in school and grade school, and the light coming off of a prism always came in a straight line. I just find it really strange that the rainbow has a curvature at all.
Yeah, right. It's
almost
millions
like,
and millions
almost like
of
it's
little
a reflection,
prisms.
Almost yeah, it like it's internal. A reflection of a solid atmosphere.
Well, I would suggest look up online and see what the light is doing when it goes through that droplet of water. And part of it goes all the way through and part of it is reflected back. And so anyway, that's why you can see it as a sun dog in the direction of the sun. And then the rainbow is away from the sun when, you know, the sun is to your back.
Okay. I'm having a hard time wrapping my
pictures,
mind around why.
I'm sure there's many good pictures online of how a rainbow works.
Doctor, yeah. I've created rainbows with a garden hose, and I've never ever been able to create one that is circular. They're always curved, and
right.
circle. When I hear you say it's a circle, and if the ground wasn't there, we would see it as a circle. That's kind of improvable, isn't it? Or unprovable?
No, because you can get situations where you get the majority of the circle. If you're up on a mountain, you can get the majority of the circle.
Very nice.
Okay, well, John, I appreciate your indulgence.
Yeah, thank you for the call, John. We appreciate it. Our next caller is Deborah in Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll probably go into the break and past it. Okay. I'm reading a book about the Yavapai culture in Arizona, and I'm bringing this up because there was a show they started last year called La Brea.
Hold on. We'll get to your comment after the break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Fix bayonets.
Blame Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. If you haven't been there for a while, you'll find a number of new things. I'm now a satellite telephone dealer. We'll be talking about that more tomorrow. One of the interesting things about satellite telephones, you can text all you want and not use up your minutes. Pretty neat. We have updates on the COVID-19 section, including the interview with Dr. Robert Malone. You really need to see that. Now you'll see in one interview with him as you scroll down, but you need to scroll down a little bit farther to the COVID-1 updates for the most recent interview with Joe Rogan. And, of course, energy cleaners. It's very gratifying to be getting caught up on the back orders. It's been tough getting the back orders caught up on energy cleaners and the mattress pads, but we're doing so this week and next week, helping people get past the arthritis pain, get the best night's sleep they've had in decades. That's what happens with the energy cleaner. Check out the details. Place your order at my website using PayPal. You can call my toll-free hotline 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9494. 9543. Visiting with Professor James McCanney. His website is linked to my links page. And Deborah, you were cut off by the break. Let's continue with your comment.
Okay, let me give you the picture of this. This is in Arizona. It's in the Verde Valley area. There's the Montezuma Castle and what we have here. And then there's a Montezuma well. And I was reading about the well. Now, to those who don't know, it's not a well that has that we build, you know, with a bucket and all that. This is a natural well, circular area with water, and you cannot see the bottom. Okay. Anyway, the Yavapai Native Americans believe that all beings in this world emerged from the underground world by climbing up stalks of plants through a hole in the earth, and they're referring to Montezuma as well. And they still consider, the Indians do, this a holy place. I would like his view on that. And then there's a very strange show they started last year called La Brea, where the ground is opening up. It started in L.A. near the pits, you know, where the dinosaurs were found in La Brea. And then through the show, these portal ground openings, and these people can fly ships down into the ground through portals. And there is another world down under there, another time, prehistoric, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, I just want his viewpoints on this well and why they're starting to bring up that there's underground life under the ground again.
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm not sure. I've been to La Brea. I've also been to the Montezuma's Castle and spent a bit of time there, because that's not the only place around that has, ancient structures where people were living. But to answer your question, I'm not sure. There's a lot of, why are they bringing out so much information on these supposed alien contact? That's huge in the news. It started about a year and a half ago. And I could tell because of the blanket coverage. This is what you look for when you're looking for something. They're trying to prep the public. And I refer back to Wernher von Braun. He said that's going to be the ultimate control mechanism for the world bankers, who he knew very well because they controlled Germany during World War II. And so anyway, the whole purpose is for control, to roll out, just like they prepped the public for COVID. Just like there were decades going into the preparation for the public for COVID, including the, 9/11 was part of the prepping, getting all of the laws in place for emergency, et cetera, et cetera. And so I believe it's the same thing, where they're prepping the public. And when they put it on a primetime TV show, you got to know that they're getting ready to roll things out. And it's always because of control of the public, and divert your attention to your real history, because here's the thing is, if you can get enough different stories and 5% of the people believe that we came from underground and 5% think from something else, what you can do is basically destroy any real history or any real attempts to know our history. And that's all it is. It's like flooding the airwaves with garbage, and there might be little snippets of truth in it, but ultimately it's for control.
Well, the show wasn't very good. The actors were terrible, but I just thought it was fascinating reading about the Yavapai Indians, that they, they're pretty ancient, go back, but that they believe that everybody came climbing up stalks of plants through this water hole. I just found that fact, because Indians also underground.
But see, that might be true, because during the Venus event, we know that the Greeks lived in caves up in the mountains. They were the people who came out of Greece alive after the Venus event were sheep herders. And that's who eventually became the Greek cultures that we know today. And so it wouldn't be unheard of that these people went down into these natural cave areas to survive the Venus event, and then when it was all over, came crawling out.
Okay, so the water may not have been there at one time.
Well, I don't know if it was there or it's not there. It's hard to say, but that was a place of shelter. You find interesting places in the world where there are caves, and there were animals in there that would typically eat other animals, like lions and rabbits, living in the same cave together. And why were they there? Because of survival. You know, they were surviving some kind of major event. And why wouldn't the tigers eat the rabbits? Yeah, because they were all in there taking shelter from some major event that was going on.
Yeah, well, I know that Navajo and Hopi have their beliefs on what end times, and they're going to go underground.
Uh-huh.
They go under the earth.
Yeah, and there are in those places, especially in limestone, you have big deposits, you have big caverns under the earth that are open.
I just thought it was fascinating. So,
if you look at the Montezuma's Castle or any of those other structures out there in southwestern Colorado or where all over the place out there, then what you find is, why were they building cities, or basically, it might be small towns, but under an overhang? Well, they were being protected from something from above, not just rain, but a rain of stuff from outer space.
Yeah.
And they were very fearful.
If people want to see something fascinating, it's seeing those dwellings and the rocks up high, like you're describing. It's fascinating. So Well, thank you very much.
We appreciate that call. Jim, I just ran across something the other day. Apparently there's man-made or human or intelligent-made megalithic structures in Montana. I did not know that. Did you, sir?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen lots of things all over.
Okay.
And, I've been in Colorado, and in Wyoming and the Dakotas, and they're ripe with places that what's interesting, John, is when you read the 1800s, when the first pioneers went across the plains, they encountered vast amounts of flood wash trees that were washed away in floods. And by the time the 1900 came around, all of that material, that wood, et cetera, had been used for fires, had been used for other things, to the point where it was all gone.
But
you have to read those original reports to know that there were some
major issues. I've read those reports. And for the trees, these were trees that were still, obviously, still trees that had not deteriorated or rotted away yet.
Right, which would happen in a few hundred years. Or maybe a few thousand years for sure.
Well,
and so
a tree laying on the ground is going to deteriorate. The deterioration process begins immediately, and that tree will be gone in 40 or 50 years at the most, laying there in the weather.
Right, but some of these areas are very dry.
If it was dry, that would certainly prolong the life of the bill of a tree to survive on the ground exposed. Let's take our next caller. It looks like Eric in Florida. Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, I have a question about grounding. How would you ground someone who lives in a wheelchair? Sort of like, would you do it the same way you ground your house? Like in plumbing, you just run a copper wire, ground it into the ground.
Okay, now, I didn't hear that. What were you trying to ground?
A human being.
A human who basically lives in a wheelchair.
Oh.
Can't really get out and ground, walk around.
Well, actually, we talked about this, John, on your show. You were talking about the
energy cleaner that you sell, which is basically a wire. And one of the options is to ground it, is if I heard correct.
Well, no, we want to make sure the energy cleaner is not grounded, because that compromises anything from happening once it's been grounded.
But anyway, the best way to ground a person is in the morning dew that's on the grass, and you put your feet on it. And so,
yeah, that's just a little difficult, because they're basically a quadriplegic.
Well, and if there's no nervous activity there, then I don't think it'll work anyway, because what you're doing is you're connecting your nervous system, which is electrical. So if there's no electrical signaling there, you know,
well, they're still active. I mean, they were, you know, they're still active, and they're not just in a bed. They're in a chair. She works 10 hours a day. So trying to figure out a way to ground her while she's in the wheelchair.
I am not sure.
Okay.
But the typical way is where you have skin, like the bottom of your feet. The bottom of your feet are very sensitive. For example, if you took a piece of, like a fruit, like a spice, and you rub it on the bottom of your feet, that smell will come out the top of your head within 15 seconds. That's how fast it travels through your system. Somebody put in garlic. Yes. Garlic is one of the better.
Well, let me help you out here, Eric. There's a book, I think the title is Earthing, if I'm not mistaken, but anyway, take a piece of copper wire, and if there's grounded outlets where this woman is, that third one, the one that's separate, assuming it is actually grounded, run the copper wire from that to the wheelchair and a metal pad. It can be aluminum or copper. Just have her sit on that metal pad. Make sure there's a piece of fabric so it doesn't scratch her bottom. And then she will be grounded, as long as that's plugged into that third plug there, that third out prong of the
rounded one. Make sure you get the right one.
Yeah, and the two flat ones, you want to avoid those, because where the current runs. But the third one, the odd one out, the round one, that one would be the grounding one, and that would ground her very effectively.
I would say, I was thinking of the same thing you do with, you know, your plumbing, how you put a stake out in the ground, you know, you wire the connect it. That's what I was thinking.
Stake in the ground,
just run a copper wire.
Every home has a grounding rod outside for the electrical system, not for the plumbing. The plumbing is self-grounded, assuming you get metal pipes.
Yeah. Let me insert something here. This is a very touchy subject, and it's something that electricians understand. But it's not correct to think that the neutral or the ground in an electric outlet is free from current. That's not true. And so I would suggest you consult with a licensed electrician before you start plugging people into outlets.
Got it. I was just thinking of running a copper wire, kind of wrapping it around her foot, ankle, and then, you know, just attaching it to a stake in the ground, metal stake in the ground. I wonder if that would help.
That would do it. That would be grounding.
Gotcha. All right, guys.
Okay, Eric,
appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Our next caller is Scott in Arizona. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I got two questions. In the early 1900s, at the headwaters of the Colorado River, a rancher was digging a ditch, irrigation ditch, and came across a story rock, apparently, and they summarized it was Chinese. My other point, do you know anything about the people of the clouds in Peru? They were apparently white people that the Incas would take the women for their wives. That's it.
Okay.
No, I'm not familiar with that. I've been quite a bit in Peru, but I have not encountered that.
Okay.
I read that they started with Pizarro.
We're in North America. That's pretty well known. The Chinese explorers were in North America in ancient times. Okay.
Yeah, so they came up the Colorado River, apparently, from Mexico.
Makes sense. Yep. Okay, thanks for the call, Eric. Our next caller is, we got a break coming up, our last break. Charlie in Florida.
Hi, John. Hi, Professor. It's always good to hear you. I have a question about...
Hold your question. We'll get to it. It has to be real quick after the break. We've got limited time. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got just a few minutes here. Go ahead, Charlie, with your comment or question. We've got limited time.
Okay. The question is, I had read somewhere that, which I always thought was kind of strange, but I wanted to put it to you, that that in the book of Genesis, the deluge was caused by from aliens that had towed the planet Mars into close to the Earth, and caused it to flood the water, to the water to leave that planet and to soak the Earth, and then it was towed back. Is that a possibility, you think? Could that have possibly happened? I mean, that's a strange question. I always thought it was kind of strange, but I'd like your feedback on it.
I've talked a lot about the issue with Mars and Venus, the comet passing Mars, and then Venus encountered Earth. And so, anyway, that's a long topic. But it's something that the ancients observed, the comet Venus passing near Mars, extracting its water and oceans. It used to be a blue planet. And it used to have an orbit, according to some people, that was much closer to Earth. And that Venus encounter also moved its orbit out to where it is today. And so anyway, those are, you know, understanding that if you talk in terms of standard science, that doesn't make any sense at all. And they laugh at it. But there again, standard science has all kinds of incorrect determinations also, all kinds of incorrect theories that are just totally bogus. Anyway. So, okay. Some people may interpret that in what you find in ancient, like indigenous writings, etc., is they're things that they observed, they didn't understand them. So you get kind of distorted stories about what actually happened and what's possible. There are differences there. So anyway, that's a very long topic, and it's something I've spent a lot of time talking about, and how it works, the physics of how that works.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to...
Well, thank you, Charlie. Jim, you want to summarize your thoughts for the day, sir? We're about out of time.
Yeah, John, I sent you a video. It's of a sweatshop in India, I believe.
It's on my website.
Yeah, I just want people to go look at it, and then when somebody tells you to wear your mask, go look at this video, because you can see there. You have to go see it. Everybody listening has to go to John's page and pull down that. Where is it, John, on your page? Where would they find
it? It's in the COVID section. I don't have it in front of me right this moment, but it's in the COVID section. I got a bunch of COVID panels.
Yeah, somebody took with a cell phone a picture of a sweatshop in, you know, some Indonesian, India, we don't know where it was, and they're making masks. And the people are sitting around on the floor in shorts, you know, breathing on these masks. There's no protection of any kind. They're all over the floor. And you're going to put this mask on your face, and somebody's telling you that this is science, you know.
Right.
So anyway. Everybody has to go see that video, and that's the last time you'll ever put on a mask, I guarantee you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim. I'll have you back next Wednesday. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Top of the hour break. Back with Jeff Nyquist. Stay tuned.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.